Judges, I'm going to read a few verses, I think 12 verses of the 11th chapter to kind of help us get a little bit of the understanding of the story that will help us. And then we want to teach a principle that I think we find here in this portion of Scripture that I think it'll be very important for us. We've told you the Bible, the Old Testament, is written for our admonition. It's written for us. It's written so that we can understand what happened to Israel and can learn from it. And there are examples for us. It's not just history, which it is, and wonderful history. But it's not just history. It's for us. It's teachings for us from the Word of God so that we can be helped by these scriptures. And so that's what we want to do, and that's what we've tried to do here in the book of Judges, is bring forth some just principles that will help us in our Christian life. So let's begin at verse 1. Now Jephthah the Gileadite was a mighty man of valor, and he was the son of a harlot, and Gilead begat Jephthah. And Gilead's wife bare him sons, and his wife's sons grew up, and they thrust out Jephthah, and said unto him, Thou shalt not inherit in our father's house, for thou art the son of a strange woman. Then Jephthah fled from his brethren and dwelt in the land of Tob. And there were gathered vain men to Jephthah and went out with him. And it came to pass in the process of time that the children of Ammon made war against Israel. And it was so that when the children of Ammon made war against Israel, the elders of Gilead went to fetch Jephthah out of the land of Tob. And they said unto Jephthah, Come and be our captain, that we may fight with the children of Ammon. And Jephthah said unto the elders of Gilead, Did not ye hate me and expel me out of my father's house? And why are ye come unto me now when ye are in distress? And the elders of Gilead said unto Jephthah, Therefore we turn again to thee now, that thou mayest go with us and fight against the children of Ammon, and be our head over all the inhabitants of Gilead. And Jephthah said unto the elders of Gilead, If ye bring me home again to fight against the children of Ammon, and the Lord deliver them before me, shall I be your head? And the elders of Gilead said unto Jephthah, The Lord be witness between us, if we do not so according to thy words. Then Jephthah went with the elders of Gilead, and the people made him head and captain over them. And Jephthah uttered all his words before the Lord in Mizpah. And Jephthah sent messengers unto the king of the children of Ammon, saying, What hast thou to do with me that thou art come against me to fight in my land? What we want to do this morning is, this is a story, we covered a little bit of that last week, but we looked at this man whom the Bible says was the son of a harlot. He grew up in his family. When he got older, the brothers said, Hey, you're not going to inherit in this family, and so they run him off. As I said last week, I don't know where he got his spiritual training, but this man became a very spiritual man. I don't know whether it was in his upbringing years there when he was raised with the family. I don't know that. Or whether it was after that he went to the land of Tob. I don't know, but he sure did get some spiritual training. He was a spiritual man, and he also became a great man of valor. He became you remember back when they called Gideon a great man of valor. The Lord did that when he came and met with Gideon. And here Gideon was hiding up here by the wine press, as you remember. Wouldn't be someone I would call a mighty man of valor. But if you remember, we looked at that, and that mighty man of valor means someone who is marching right into the teeth of the enemy. Well, Gideon surely was not that at that time, but we taught the principle that God don't look at us as what we are, but what we can be. And I think that's important. I'm glad God didn't look at me just what I was, but what we could be with him and his strength and his presence. Well, here we find again that he calls Jephthah a mighty man of valor. So he became a really a great warrior. So when Ammon, the people of Ammon, came against Israel, then the people who had run off him, the brethren who had run him off, said, "We need him to come back because he's a mighty man of valor. He's a great warrior. So we need him to come back." So he came back, and then he sent messengers, and that's in verse 12. He sent messengers unto the king of the children of Ammon, saying, "Why hast thou to do with me that thou art come again against me to fight in my land?" Now, the principle that I would like to share with you this morning is that you find a man here. There, it's the Ammon, the people of Ammon, who is coming against him. They've formed their armies. They're coming to fight against Israel. And what he does when he's asked to be the head, the first thing he does is tries to find out, why are they coming against him? Why are you coming and fighting against me? I think that's a great principle. He wants to know what's going on. He doesn't just get a battle and go after him. He says, "Why are you fighting? Maybe we can work this out." And I think that's a principle that we can learn. Maybe not so much as a nation, which nations do that. They try to find out what's going on between each other. But what I'm saying is, I think as individuals and relationships with other people, I have found over the years as a preacher, there is constant, a lot of times, relationships that go sour. Little things happen, and a lot of them are absolutely unnecessary. And sometimes those things can happen, and they can last for years. Hard feelings between Christians can last for years. And I want to tell you something. It's unnecessary. And here you find a man who says, "I want to find out why you're coming to war against me." I think maybe that would be a good thing. Why do we have conflict? Why do we have a conflict between one another? We need to find that out and do everything we can, because a lot of times it may just be a misunderstanding. I don't know your relationships, and I don't need to know your relationships. But if you have some hard feelings between you and someone else that is a Christian, that thing ought to be straightened out. It ought to be straightened out. There oughtn't to be hard feelings. You understand what I'm saying? You ought to find out what it is. This is what Jephthah did. He went to find out, what is it? Why are you coming to war against me? I think that's what we as God's people need to do. Okay? We need to find out, because a lot of times it might be just some misunderstanding between two. Not only that, we don't always know, and let me assure you of this, we don't know the path that another person walks. We do not know what's going on in another individual's life. I found out down through the years, a lot of times where people maybe will do something, react wrongly, it's because of some things that's happening in their life. And we've got to be learn to be more kind and maybe not judge the motive of an individual. If a person murders someone, I want to tell you something, that's murder. Amen. It's wrong. I don't care how you look at it or what the motive is. It's wrong. You don't do that. But there is things that people do that we think maybe they do it for one reason or another, and we don't know the real motive behind why an individual does something. And I think that here, like Jephthah was doing, he was trying to find out, why are you against me? Why are you coming to war against me? I think that is what the Lord would have us to do. Because sometimes we take things so personal when it was never meant personal. We've just got to be careful as Christians, God's people. We've got to be careful how we look at another individual and how we take something when a lot of times it isn't really meant in a personal way. You understand? We oughtn't to just have a chip up here. You know what I mean? Now, you know what a chip on the shoulder means, don't you? That denotes wood higher up. And you, 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 That's, you just got to remember that. Amen. So to carry a chip on our shoulder is not the, really the proper best thing to do. Okay? Because it tells a lot about us. Amen. What's up? But anyway, just as I said, kind of take into consideration what an individual is going through. We don't always know what's in another person's life. We just don't. And sometimes they don't act right, they don't do right, they don't behave right because of what's really going on. Maybe that's no excuse, but let me tell you something. We've all been there. We've all had things in our lives that maybe caused us to not be everything we ought to be. And we just need to, you know, to have good relationships. If there's relationships that are there and they've been over a lengthy time that are not good, you need to find out why the conflict is there. You understand? You understand what I'm saying? We're God's people. We ought to live above that. Don't you think? We ought to live above it. But anyway, I want to show you something over in the book of Ephesians, the fourth chapter of the book of Ephesians. Let's turn over there for a moment. Fourth chapter of the book of Ephesians. I'm going to start, let me see here. He's giving some, in this portion of Scripture, he's giving some illustrations and giving some instructions on things to do when we get saved, after we're saved, that we should be different. We ought to put off the old man and put on the new man and some things. And so the instruction here is, let's start verse number, let's see, put on verse 24. And that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. And then he begins to tell us some things we ought to put off and put on. Now remember something, we can't claim, well, I'm just that away, and I've heard that so many times in my life, that's just the way I am. Well, when you become a Christian, you're supposed to be different. We're supposed to change. We can't just claim that old thing, you know, well, that's just the way I am. No, when we become a Christian, we're to put off that old man, and we're to put on the new man. So he says in verse 25, wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. See, he tells us not to lie anymore. Be ye angry and sin not, let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communications proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good, to the use of edifying, and it may minister grace unto the hearers. Many of you knew Bob Carr years and years ago. Bob passed away quite a few years ago. Bob got saved, and before he got saved, he admits that he had a filthy, filthy mouth. And Bob said, you know, it's a funny thing, Pastor. He said, I got saved, and he said, once in a while, I'd let something slip that shouldn't slip. And he said, boy, I felt so bad. And I want to tell you, I never did feel bad like that before. He said, but I got saved. And he said, them corrupt communications, you know, they'd slip out once in a while. And he said, boy, that was terrible. And he said, God, get all over me. But I'm saying, you know, God says, you put those things away. Yeah, you may used to have talked that away, but now you're God's child. Let's straighten up. Let's clean things up and do right. Amen. That's what all of us have to do. We get saved, there's things that have to change in our life. And then he says, and grieve not, and this is what I want to show you. He says, and in verse 30, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. God says that these things that we used to do, that we ought not to do, grieve the Holy Spirit of God. And I wanted to kind of bring this out because, and I'll show you in the next couple of verses, but after we get saved, the Holy Spirit comes to live within us. Now, you know that. And he is God, the Holy Spirit. Isn't that right? I mean, he's God, the Holy Spirit. And he says that we can grieve him. We can grieve God, the Holy Spirit, who lives with us. I looked up that word grieve in the Strong's Concordance, and it says to cause grief, to make sorry, to be in heaviness, and to be sad. And I think about that, and I think here we're causing God, the Holy Spirit, to be sad or grieved at us. That's serious business. Okay? And this is what I want to get back to, is the next two verses, because then he says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. He says, what do you do? Well, you put away this bitterness that you used to have. Put it away. And he says, the wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking, you don't do that anymore. Because why? Because that grieves the Holy Spirit of God. And then listen, because this is one of my favorite verses of Scripture. It's helped me in my life so many times. Because it says, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. And I look at this thing, and I'm saying, I know I'm going back to Jephthah back here who tried to find out why the conflict. But as I say, there's a lot of times there's conflicts between God's people, and they ought not to be there. We are instructed by the Lord, if we don't forgive one another, we are grieving the Holy Spirit of God. God the Holy Spirit. And that's sad business. I mean, amen? That's serious business. And when we grieve the Holy Spirit of God, there's no way the Holy Spirit of God can control our lives. He don't have the influence in our lives when we grieve Him. But here's what he said, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. I think a lot of times, of all that Christ did for me, he died for me and forgave me of all of my sin, everything, forever, wiped it out. And I am not willing to forgive someone for what they may have done or I at least think done to me. I would not be willing to forgive them. What is the matter with us? When God, our wonderful Savior, died on the cross and forgave us of it all. Woo. Amen. You want to go back and think about your life and realize that God forgave every sin that you and I have ever committed and ever will? That's amazing. Now, so someone does something they shouldn't do to us. Are we unwilling to forgive them? Amen? Yeah, I mean, that's serious business. You understand what I'm saying? I'm trying to help you and me to realize in God's eyes that grieves the Holy Spirit of God. You see, that kind of action, them kind of things in our life grieves God, the Holy Spirit, who lives within us. Amen? So I think it was just it's an important principle that we need to realize. You see, listen, life is tough. You know that? There's a lot of things that happen in life, and it's just not always easy. My wife and I talk, I've said it many times to my wife, why would a husband and wife want to do things to each other to make it tougher in life? Why would I want to make it harder for her? Amen? Why don't we get up of a morning and say, what can I do to make it better for her? Give her a good day. Make her day good. Make it precious. And she do the same. You understand what I'm saying? You see, it's just a better way to live, folks. Amen? And as Christians, we don't have the excuse that we don't know, because we do know. We do know. And we have the sweet Holy Spirit of God living in us and convicting us when we do wrong. Amen? And then we have to do something about it, don't we, when we do wrong? Get to the Lord and ask forgiveness and cleansing. And He's gracious enough to forgive us, and cleanse us, and make it right. Amen? So I'm saying to you, and I don't know your relationships, and you may not have any bad relationships, but if you do, boy, if you've got a relationship with a Christian that doesn't seem to be right, why don't you just do your best to, why don't you do your best to get it straightened out? Amen. I've always told you, you're not going to like everything everybody else does, but you can love them. You can love them in the Lord. Yes, you can. Amen. The agape love of Jesus Christ is something I wish I had more understanding of, because I want to tell you, every day I go by, I'm amazed at the love of God. It's a love that's not dependent on what I do whatsoever. No, 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 he wants me to do right, but his love is not dependent on what I do. His love, he just loves me. And he loves you. Amen. Amen. I want to tell you, well, that's the kind of love he wants us to have for each other. Just love each other. Amen. All right. Anyway, let's while we're in the New Testament, let's go over to 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter there, just a couple minutes. In verse 4, I'm not going to read them all. These are them. This is them description of what love does and what love doesn't do, 1 Corinthians 13 chapter. I've many down through the years, and I want to encourage you today as a husband and wife, you ought to read this at least once a month. You really should. We ought to read it once a month, 1 Corinthians 13 chapter. And you ought to read this chapter once a month. It tells you what love does, what it does not do. And boy, we can do a real checkup on that, find out what's going on in our life. Are we really expressing love, or are we not? Okay? And so anyway, and I'll just read verse 4. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not besave itself unseemingly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. And then he says, charity never faileth. And it can't. Love never, ever fails. And it's talking about not envying. It's talking about not being selfish. And again, I say to you, that's one of the greatest secrets in marriage, is to not be selfish. Okay? There's one portion here means don't keep a ledger. Don't keep a ledger of what happened last year at this time, or 5 years ago, or no, you mark them off. You forgive them and you mark them off. You go on. Amen? You understand what I'm saying? I'm just trying to tell you there's a lot of conflicts that's just absolutely unnecessary. And they're not good. Amen? So it's best if we just kind of find out what the conflict is. And then again, I want to say to you, a lot of times in relationships with Christians, I've had many people, I had one lady in this church, never would tell you, she's a sweet, precious lady, but she always worried about what she used to be. She always would say, well, I did this and I did that, and I don't know, and I know God's supposed, you know, forget. You know what? And I finally told her one day, I said, would you do me a favor? And she said, what's that? And I said, never bring up again what you used to be to me. And I said, I mean it. And I said, you know what? I'm not interested in what you used to be. I'm interested in what you are now. And that's what God is interested in. Amen? You know, you can't change your past life. You can get it forgiven and cleansed. And sometimes there may be things you have to make right with people, but you can't change it. I'm just interested in what a person's doing now. Are they living for God now? You see, loving the Lord now, that's what's important. And we ought to be careful. We ought to not hold things about people that we knew years ago wasn't doing right. So what? What are they doing now? Are they living for God now? Huh? You understand what I'm saying? Amen. That'll help us, you see. In fact, I really wouldn't want a film up here of This Is Your Life, Bob Ross. Would you? Would you like to have it filmed up here, every area of your life? I wouldn't either. So let's just put it in the past. Put it under the blood. Amen. Where it belongs. All right. Then we find, let me see here. Let's go back to Judges. We'll just get started on these excuses. But we find that so he sent this message to Ammon, the king of Ammon, and he said in verse 12, "What hast thou to do with me that thou art come against me to fight in my land?" And the king of the children of Ammon answered unto the messengers in Jephthah, "Because Israel took away my land when they came up out of Egypt, from Arnon even unto Jabbok, and from and unto Jordan. Now therefore restore these lands again peacefully." He said, "You took away these lands of ours when you came up out of Egypt." And let me say something to you, that was 300 years ago when he's bringing this accusation. And he said, "So you need to return this land to us." And so, of course, his answer basically was, and he said, "Japheth sent messengers again unto the king of children of Ammon, and said unto him, Thus saith Japheth, Israel took not away the land of Moab, nor the land of the children of Ammon. But when Israel came up from Egypt, and walked through the wilderness unto the Red Sea, and came to Kadesh, then Israel sent messengers unto the king of Edom, saying, Let me, I pray thee, pass through thy land. But the king of Edom would not hearken thereof, and to the manner they sent unto the king of Moab, but he would not consent, and Israel abode in Kadesh. Then they went along through the wilderness, and compassed the land of Edom and the land of Moab, and came by the east side of the land of Moab, and pitched on the other side of Arnon, but came not within the border of Moab. For Arnon was the border of Moab. And Israel sent messengers unto Sihon, king of Ammonites, and the king of Heshbon. And Israel said unto him, Let us pass, we pray thee, through the land into my place. But Sihon trusted not Israel to pass through the coast. But Sihon gathered all his people together and pitched in Jahaz and fought against Israel. And then he says, And the Lord God of Israel delivered Sihon and all his people into the hand of Israel. In other words, he said, we didn't steal it, we captured it. This is our land. We captured it. That was 300 years ago. It would be like, Tommy, if I would come down there to your place and say to you, I want to tell you something. My wife, she is 16th part Choctaw Indian. And years ago, her people had a teepee on your property. And so I want it. It's mine. I know your wife is part Choctaw too, but that don't matter. But anyway, I want it. And it's mine. And that's what these people were saying. 300 years ago, we got this land. And honestly, they got it. And another thing was, God gave it to them. Because look here in verse 23 and verse 24. He says, And so now the Lord God of Israel hath dispossessed the Amorites from before his people Israel. And shouldest thou possess it? Wilt not thou possess that which Chemosh thy God giveth thee to possess? So whomsoever the Lord our God shall drive out from before us, them will we possess. In other words, God gave us that land. It's ours, and we're going to keep it. That's the way with Israel over there now. Everybody's trying to take the land of Israel away from Israel. It belongs to them because God gave it to them. It's their land. It isn't belong to the Syrians and all of those other countries over there. It belongs to Israel because God gave them that land. And you know what? They can't give it back because God gave it to them. But anyway, this was the excuses, and I'm just about out of time, but let me share with you, if you read the rest of that chapter and you look at all of that, he was trying to find reasons that they could settle this dispute. And the king of Ammon would not talk with him, would not reason with him whatsoever. So what happened was, and I don't have time to go all into it, but what happened was, war happened. And Japheth went after him and defeated him. The reason I'm saying that, but he did everything under the sun that he could do to stop the conflict. And I think that's the way it is with we as Christians. We need to do everything we can to resolve conflicts, but never back down from truth. You don't back down from truth. This Bible is the Word of God. And it's the absolute truth of the Word of God. And we don't back down from it for nobody. Amen? Now, you don't want conflicts, but if it means going against the Bible, we don't go against the Bible. God's Word is God's Word. Amen? Aren't you glad you have this absolute Bible? You can look into this Bible and know that everything He says is true and right, and always will be. Amen? And they're standing back there like I ought to be stopping. Let's pray. Father, thank you again today for your grace and kindness and goodness. Thank you for who you are. You're the great, the true God. Thank you for Jesus, our precious, precious Savior, who died on the cross for us, was buried, and rose again, and soon coming again. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.